This week, we are looking at the Gospel of Mark, verses 1 to 15 in particular. And I will be reading those verses for us, and they will also be flashed on the screen, and you can follow. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. "The time promised by God has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." May the Lord bless the public reading of his word. To this messenger, Pastor Dave.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Once again, welcome to Zion Bishan. My name is Dave. And today, as we heard every Sunday, we hear the word of God. And that's why we come to church really, right? Because we want to hear our God speak to us. We read his word and we hear it spoken to us. So why don't we again bow our heads and pray, and we want to ask God to really speak to us today. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that through your word and by your spirit, you show us who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as I begin, I'd like to ask you a question. If you only had one word to describe what life is like, what would that one word be? It's kind of a big question, I know, quite existential, right? But it's an important one. If you only had one word to describe what life feels like, what would that word be? Tell you what, just to wake us up this morning, why don't we turn to our neighbor, you know, the person sitting next to you, and introduce yourselves, if you haven't done yet, get to know their name, and ask them this question. If you only had one word to describe what life is like, what would that word be? I'll give you a minute, okay? And just listen for their answer, and you give the answer as well, huh? So can we do that? Turn to your neighbor and ask them this question. Okay, Ken? I am really curious to hear your answers. For a minute, I wanted to text me, but cannot, no time. Later on my way out, I'll go ask you, okay? But you know, when the Bible describes our lives, or particularly our experience of life on earth in just one word, I think the word that is often used is the word wilderness. Wilderness. In fact, that's one of the repeated words in our passage, isn't it? We heard it mentioned 4 times in our 15 verses that were read to us, this word wilderness. But what is it, this wilderness? What is it? Well, Christians believe that in the beginning, God created of the world. When he created the world, it was meant to be a beautiful place. You can read for yourselves in the early chapters of the Bible how God made this wonderful garden, you know, full of flowers and fruit trees, with a river filled with gold and jewels, and there were animals that would come alongside us, you know, a bit like those Disney movies, you know, every princess got sparrow on her wrist and deer on her shoulder. But that is what we imagine ideal life to be like, right? It's not just a Disney dream, that is the description of original life. Peaceful, tranquil, beautiful, enjoyable, restful, a garden paradise. Well, that's what God made in the beginning. Unfortunately, things didn't stay that way. Our ancestors, the first humans, after living in this garden for just one day, decided that they would reject God who made everything. They decided that they would no longer listen to God's words. They would live life their own way. That action of rejecting God, deciding, I don't want to listen to his word, that's what the Bible calls sin. Sin in the Bible is not just about murder or rape or riding a modified PMD at 100 kilometers down a highway. No, sin is when we say, I want to live life my own way, without reference to the one who made me, God. It's a bit like how some children reject the instruction of their parents after being brought up for so many years. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I will live life my way. That's sin. So when God's children sinned against him, what did God, their father, what did God do? Well, he didn't bring out the rotan. But he said, okay, you want to live life your own way? Then go lah. Go. Humanity was asked to leave this Disney-like garden and live in a world without God's approval, without God's blessing. We're thrown out from the well-tended place that maybe looks a bit like Bishan Park, huh? Cultivated plants, bird breeding habitats, meandering rivers, no PMDs, eco-friendly restaurants like Grub, to a world that often looks more like Lim Chu Kang. A place that's wild and unkept, cursed. As most NS men know, Lim Chu Kang is not the place you like to be. It's wet, it's messy, hostile, and at night, it's pretty scary. Which is why all those horror movies, right, the last place you want to be is at night in the forest with all these eyes looking at you. That is the description of wilderness. The world that said no to God and no longer has God's blessing. A world gone wild. That's the world we live in today, right? It's full of natural disasters, like that New Zealand volcano. It comes with very little warning. There's disease on every toilet seat, every doorknob, every breath of your neighbor carries a potentially deadly virus. I should know, I used to be a microbiologist. There's political stability, not just in the third world, but even in first world countries like Hong Kong, they can turn mad overnight. There are dictators and superpowers who want to make you follow their agenda, as the US and China disagree on every turn and the EU just goes crazy. Uncertainty in this wilderness is the norm as disruptive technologies undermine jobs and make education seem impossible. How do you study? Right? What do you study when you don't know what the world is tomorrow? This is wilderness. It's an unstable, anxiety-causing, fearful place where death and disaster could hit you at any corner. And we know this, right, if we have time to reflect. We know how hard life is. We try our best to help our children handle the brutal realities of what we know. Because in many cultures, right, they often have a ritual to help children transition to adults, to prepare them for the real world. For example, the Australian Aborigines, they have this thing called walkabout. They get their teenage children to live in the outback for 6 months solo. And if you can survive 6 months in the outback, then you can handle real life. Singaporeans also have a ritual. It's a cruel and unusual ritual. With much crying and wailing. You know what it is? PSLE. The torment, the stress, the brain, and the horror of PSLE. Why would we put children through such anguish? Because we know what the world is like. And if they can't get through PSLE, then we worry, right? We worry. Can they get through life? But no matter how much we prepare, is that really enough? Can anyone really survive or tahan the wilderness? Even for adults, if we're honest with ourselves, are we coping? I don't know if we're coping. How do you know if you're not coping with life, right? How do you know you're not coping with this unstable life? Well, there are many symptoms, right? There are many signs to diagnose. Because some of us, we explode, right? We often get angry. We turn our anxiety, our fears into rage. And then we complain and we rebel against the government, we against our parents, our teachers, we get vocal, we break things. Much of what is happening in Hong Kong now, right? That's not anger. It's fear. They're afraid that they're going to be swallowed up by the wild animals, the political forces beyond their control. And they lash out. For others of us, we implode, right? The world is just too much for us, and that leads us to have panic attacks or obsessive compulsive disorders or yet others to depression. I wonder if you've been reading how much mental health issues are on the rise. And what does this tell you? It tells you that millennials, for all their hipsterness, for all their social mobility, are not coping. They're descending into despair, depression, suicide. On a day-to-day basis, most of us, when we can't handle things, we just run away, right? We escape. When life is too much, what do? We eat. We drink. We play hours of computer games. We distract ourselves with Netflix. We can only fall asleep after watching copious amounts of pornography. In fact, that's my story. I grew up in a decent family. In fact, my parents are here in this church. Thank you, decent parents. I grew up in a church environment. I had good friends, relatively good grades. I went to the best schools in Singapore, St. Andrew's Primary and Secondary, the best schools in Singapore. And yet, the minute I got out of my sheltered life and entered the real world, when I went overseas, I imploded. Suddenly, when there are no parents, no friends, no familiar routines, when I was exposed to different opinions, lifestyles, viewpoints, when I had to navigate the world by myself, I was paralyzed. And so I ran. I ran into computer games and then to heavy pornography use. In fact, hours a day, I just avoid life from switching from porn to StarCraft, Counter-Strike back to porn. That was my life for years. By the end of my undergrad studies, even though it looked like I was doing okay academically, internally, it was a mess. I was confused. I was numb. I was lost. I didn't know what to do next. The wilderness got to me. I don't know if that's how you feel. Do you feel the world is like the wilderness? Do you feel lost in this place of anxiety and instability? Do you feel afraid because things are really quite dark? Maybe you don't see much of a future. Maybe things even seem a bit hopeless. Well, if that's you, then listen carefully to the words that we had read to us in Mark's story. Mark 1:1 starts. Here begins the good news. To those who are feeling scared and anxious, to those who are feeling overwhelmed or lost, Mark says, here begins the good news. The word good news is often called gospel in other Bible translations. It refers to announcement. An announcement that there's going to be change. There's going to be a regime change. It's kind of like Hitler's been defeated. The war is over. The enemy is dead. And now change is coming. It's the kind of news that wants to make you dance in the street and hug random people. Good news. Mark introduces us to a character called John the Baptist. And the interesting thing about John the Baptist, okay, there are lots of interesting things about this guy. But the most interesting thing is that he lives in the wilderness. You see where he lives? In the wilderness. And he's got the clothes to prove it, right? Camel hair, leather belt, eats grasshoppers and honey. Somehow, John has managed to survive wilderness world. I think today we may think of him a bit more like this. The guy that's been to hell and back and can now lives to tell the tale. See, he of all people, if he survived his whole life there, must know how to handle things. The twists and turns, the challenges and stresses, the darkness and demons. Could John have the answer? Well, lots of people think so. And that's why we read of crowds, throngs of people from all over the country going out to listen, to see and hear this man. And yet when the crowds come to hear John, and they ask him, how? John doesn't teach them life skills or leadership methodology. He doesn't recommend books or the top schools. He doesn't teach military warfare or put them through a jungle confidence course. Well, this is what John announces. Someone is coming soon. John says, I'm just a messenger, I'm just a voice, but someone is coming. Someone's on the way who is much greater, far more powerful, stronger than I, so much stronger than I. The good news that John is announcing is a person coming to rescue us from wilderness world, and his name is Jesus Christ. Here begins the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. See, all throughout the Bible, ever since that fateful day when Adam and Eve turned away from God and turned the world into wilderness by their sin, the Bible has been hoping for, waiting for a Messiah, a Christ, a chosen one who will come. And when he comes, the promise is the chosen one will defeat the powers of darkness. He will rescue those of us who are lost. He will teach us the ways of eternal life. But ultimately, the final promise is that Messiah will bring us back into garden paradise. That world of peace, tranquility, beauty and rest. The world of God's blessing that we were originally made for. The good news that John is announcing and Mark has written down for us is that change is coming. Christmas Day, 2,000 years ago, the Son of God came down from heaven as God's champion to vanquish the forces of darkness and to lead his lost people back to garden paradise. This is not some fictional Avengers story, but a historical event documented and confirmed by hundreds of individuals who were there to see and hear him in the flesh. In fact, Mark gives us a little taster of what Jesus is going to do, because straight away in the gospel, we see what Jesus straight away heads on to do. When he first arrives at the scene, his first act, his first mission is to go where? The wilderness. First thing. for 40 days and 40 nights, with no food and no water, in the most hostile of environments, amongst the wild animals and Satan, the devil himself, Jesus suffers, fights, and finally wins. Mark gives us a little snapshot of why Jesus has come. He's here to conquer the wilderness. And throughout the rest of Mark's story, we can see how this happens in full. We can read for ourselves how Jesus takes on wilderness world. You can see how, if you read through Mark's gospel, see how he casts out demons, how he heals the sick and the paralyzed, how he subdues natural disasters like hurricanes and storms, how he takes on dictators and tyrants and puts them in their place, and ultimately how he challenges the scariest thing the world has to offer, death itself. Even the darkness of death cannot defeat God's champion. Jesus Christ is the only one with power and authority to take on the darkness and to bring those of us who are lost back home. Do you know what the name Jesus means? Do you know what the name Jesus means? It means God has come to save. It means God has come to save you and I. You know, if you're not personally convinced about this Jesus, if you're not sure who he is, then can I invite you to come for this course called Christianity Explored? It starts on the 15th of January. I mean, don't just listen to what I'm saying. Come and read for yourselves. Ask questions. Find out more. It's a simple course that lasts 7 weeks. And if you're interested, just before this service ends, turn to your neighbor and ask them, hey, I really want to find out more. If your neighbor is a member of Zion Bishan, I'm sure they'll be more than happy to accompany you. They will. Do you remember my story? How once I went overseas, I was overwhelmed and tried to escape through computer games and porn. Well, after I realized how lost I was, I knew I needed help. And actually, it wasn't that. I needed rescue. I was stuck, you know. So I sort of trudged back to the nearest church, which I'd left for a few years. And thankfully, I met a guy there who was willing to reintroduce Jesus to me. He took the time, you know. He sat down. We read the Bible together many weeks. Now I've been to church before, so the words were not unfamiliar. But the difference was, this guy knew Jesus. And it seemed like I didn't. He had a relationship with Jesus that I never seemed to have all the years that I was attending church in my youth. And I desperately wanted whatever this guy had for myself. But there was still one thing I needed to do. There was still one more thing I had to do. See, do you remember why the whole wilderness problem started in the first place? It's because Adam and Eve sinned. They ignored God's word, lived life their own way, and faced the consequences of life on their own. So if you do want to get to know Jesus, if you do want him to rescue us, then there is something we have to do. We have to confess our sins. We have to acknowledge before God that we're sinners, we've done wrong, we've done hurtful and harmful things to other people and ourselves, we've messed up our lives. We have to own, confess, and repent of our sins. In fact, that's what that whole ritual of baptism was about. Some people have the misconception that baptism is people showing how holy they are. That is utter rubbish. Because when people get baptized, as you saw here today, they're saying to everyone present publicly that they are sinners. They've done wrong. Everything's a mess. And the act of baptism is them desperately reaching out, God, save me, help me, rescue me. That's what baptism is all about. Desperate people recognizing their sinners, coming to Jesus and say, save me. And in baptism, when the hand is on their head, we hear God's reply, I will. I will. See, it was only when I was ready to admit that I was a sinner, when I was ready to confess my wrongs, such as my pornography addiction, such as all the other ways I lived life independently from God's word, only then did my church experience change to one of knowing Jesus personally. Only then did I begin to understand His rescue mission. Friends, Mark's gospel is good news. It's good news today for anyone who feels scared, confused, hopeless, or lost. And the good news is God has sent His champion, Jesus Christ, to bring about an era of change, to lead us out from wilderness world into the garden city of peace and rest. My question to all of you is, do you want to know Him? As mentioned, if you really don't know Him at all, it's the first time or first few times you're hearing about Him, then best place to start is Come for Christianity Explored. Again, before the service ends, turn to your neighbor, ask them to bring you. They will do it. But even if you, like me, have been in church for years, and you still feel that you're lost, you still feel you don't know Jesus personally, then could it be you haven't yet confessed your sins? You haven't begun the process of repentance. So maybe for you, today is the day to talk to one of the church leaders and let those things come into the light. Jesus is good news for you too. Let me end this sermon with the very first words we hear from the Messiah Himself. This is what He said. First words in Mark's Gospel. At last the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. It's now here. Turn from your sins and believe the good news. Shall we pray? Friends, let's all close our eyes, bow our heads, and take some time to reflect. Think about what God has been saying to you personally. Let's just take a minute in silence. And while with our heads still bowed and our eyes still closed, if any of us feel that God has been speaking to us personally today, I'm going to say a little prayer that you can repeat after me, echo after me. And it's just a short prayer to ask Jesus to help us. And this is how it goes. Dear Jesus, I really want to know You. I recognize I'm a sinner. I've done things my own way. I've ignored all Your words. And now I feel lost, frightened, and confused. But today I want You to help me. Jesus, please rescue me. Even today. Amen. Friends, if you've prayed that prayer, please do talk to someone about it. Talk to any of our church leaders, look for those wearing name tags, and we can help you take the next step.